You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. A practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Larry, from Radio Maria. I want to welcome everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary, a true kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalma, and I'll be joined by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will coming to us live from Italy. And we're going to begin, as we always do, in school, as I used to, with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, please pray for us. Fiat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, it's a joy to be with all of you, or you with all of us, all together, grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. Truly, even in the midst of all the chaos and the confusion and the hardship that's going on, God is allowing these crosses to cross our path, for lack of a better word, so that we have opportunity to grow in virtue. It's all an opportunity. God knows exactly what he's doing. And, you know, thinking about Our Lady's birthday yesterday and everything our Blessed Mother has done for us and continues to do for us, she wants us to sit on her lap. She wants us to listen to her like children listen to a good mother. She wants to help us. She wants to give us everything that our Lord gave her. She's waiting for that opportunity. But, you know, sometimes we have to change the way we do things. Jesus calls it, we have to even be willing to give up even holy things. And you might seem like, wow, that doesn't sound consistent with growing in holiness. How do you give up holy things? Well, basically what God means is sometimes we have to let go of something to embrace a greater good. Little example, Reflections of the Practices by Hannibal de Francia, St. Hannibal de Francia. And this is in the 6 p.m. hour of the Hours of the Passion. Quote, Jesus promptly leaves his mother, although he experiences a blow to his most tender heart. Are we ready to sacrifice even the most legitimate and holy affections in order to fulfill the divine will? End quote. Again, in essence, we've talked about this before. It's not that God is greater than God, but what is greater? 15 minutes of the divine will through the Holy Eucharist or a perennial communion with God for all eternity? Same divine will. God is God. But God for 15 minutes versus God for forever, there's no comparison. There's where the value is. So God is not greater than God, but having God more often is greater than not, if that makes any sense. I know something that does make sense. I'm going to now introduce Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will coming to us live from Italy. And we have back with us today, thank God, Sister Francesca. Hello, Mother. Hello, sisters.
Hello. How are you?
Doing good. I almost broke into that hello, hello. Don't say why, but say hello. I got to really reframe myself on that. Yeah. So, Mother, we had the birthday of our Blessed Lady yesterday, and we were mulling over some of her admonition to us, some of her quotes, and some of her, in essence, pleads, requests that are for our benefit. She continues to work. She never stopped working. I mean, we know now that every single apparition, every time she's appeared to anyone, she has had it as her primary purpose to bring us back to the divine will. Just like Jesus states that everything he did was for that purpose alone. I have it here somewhere. I guess I don't have it. But here it is. This is from volume 14, September 11th, 1922. Quote, therefore, there is nothing I did which did not have as primary purpose that man take possession of my divine will and I of his. This was my primary purpose in creation, the same in redemption. The sacraments that I instituted, the many graces given to my saints, have been the seeds, the means to let man reach this possession of my divine will. End quote. So if our Lord was doing the will of the Father and bringing back everyone to the divine will, to the bosom of the Father, the mother was doing everything, was doing the will of the Son, who's doing the will of the Father, and everything she did, every apparition, every word she's uttered, has had as its primary purpose. She may not have discussed it point blank. She may not have mentioned the divine will, but everything was leading to our return to the order, the place, and the purpose for which we're created by God, the prelapse here in Erev Adam. That's how great it is. And that's why we have to give up even holy things sometimes to embrace this gift, to be nourished by this gift so that we can share it with others. Mother, sisters.
Right. Yes. You know, it's so important that we understand, and we have to understand the writings in order to know how to do that. Because he did say too in the writings that your understanding, your knowledge of it is what makes it so valuable to you to do the acts and rounds in divine. We have to understand what that is. I was just reading here in volume 20, October 26, 1926, our Lord said, "So I am. Everything that the creature does not do for me are tearings that I feel, more so since the earth that sustains her is mine, the sun that illuminates her and warms her is mine, the water that she drinks, the food that she takes are mine. Everything is mine. She lives at my expense, and while I give her everything, she, the beautiful statue, is not for me. What must my sorrow be then? And the affront and the offense that this statue gives me. Think about it yourself, my daughter. Now you must know that my will alone can give me back my statue, beautiful, just as I made it, because my will is the preserver of all our works and the bearer of all our reflections, in such a way that the soul lives of our reflections, that if she loves, administer to her the perfection of our love, if she works, the perfection of our works. In sum, everything she does is perfect in her, and this perfection gives her so many tints of different beauties as to enamor the maker who formed her. This is why I love so much that the supreme fiat be known and form its kingdom in the midst of the human generations, to establish the order between creator and creature, and to return to the place our goods in common with her. And our will alone has this power. Without it, there cannot be much good, nor can our statue return to us as beautiful as it came out of our creative hands. So our Lord describes too in different passages in this writings that as we partake of all of his goods, unless we do it in his divine will, unless we live in his divine will, we're stealing in a sense, because everything belongs to those who live in his divine will. He gave us the sun, he gave us the moon, the stars, all of creation as a gift to us. And when Adam and Eve left the divine will, and everyone after them until now, until Louisa came around, and our Lord gave the gift back to those who want it, everything that people were doing, they were taken as, you know, these gifts from God that didn't really belong to them. But as children of God in divine will, everything belongs to us. So when we breathe, we're not stealing the air. You know, that's ours. He gave it to us. Everything belongs to us because we enter into that union with him. We enter into that family, divine will family. And so he gives all of his gifts to those living in his divine will. And he says that over and over again. See, so, and until we totally in the divine will, we still can do acts and rounds in divine will. He gives it on loan as a gift. Until we totally there, until we continually live in his divine will. And so all you have to do is to have that desire. It's not about feelings, you know, it's all about your desire to want him to do these acts and rounds within you. And with the desire, it happens. And we have to have that knowledge. We have to have that faith. You know, it's all about our faith. I was just talking to a priest today who comes here to hear our confessions. We're talking about Mother Teresa because he's from India, and how Mother Teresa lived the dark night of a soul all of her religious life. You know, she lived totally by faith without feelings. We always think if we don't feel it, it's not happening. If we don't feel something happening when we do acts and rounds in divine will. We don't feel our Lord within us doing it. It mustn't be happening. Well, Louisa had the same problem. I think it's a couple of times Louisa said, I feel like I'm doing nothing. And our Lord says, but you're doing everything, you know. So don't worry about not feeling it. Just desire it. You say it. You believe it. And it happens, you know. And little by little, you be transformed, you know. You want to share something?
Yeah, but the what really strikes me when you said, when Louisa was complaining that you're not with me. Yeah. And just, I'm always with you. I just found a passage that talks about that exactly, the same music, the same song that Louisa used to sing to Jesus. Why do you leave me? Why can't I see you? Where are you? You know, you're not going to show up again to me. It's the same song, sad song. But there's what Jesus told Louisa. Another time, after I said to him, in the end, you will end up leaving me completely. This is Louisa complaining to Jesus. And Jesus said to me, daughter, I cannot leave you. And as a pledge of this, I have placed my sufferings in you. Now think about this. Daughter, I cannot leave you. And as a pledge of this, I have placed my sufferings in you. Now Jesus is telling us too. I think, Mother, you're talking about how we can, how we live perfectly in the divine will. I think we would know that when we suffer, when Jesus gives us a suffering and we don't complain anymore about it, yeah, because we would love suffering. That's the guarantee, fourth degree, right? And then I'll continue. Then while I occupied with this thought, how is it, Lord, that you have permitted the coming of the confessor? Everything could have passed between me and you. In one instant, I found myself inside. I found myself outside of myself, lying on a cross, but there was no one who could nail me to it. I began to pray the Lord to come to crucify me himself. And Jesus came and told me, see how necessary it is for the priest to be in the middle of my works. And this is just to help to complete the crucifixion. Indeed, without anybody else, you cannot crucify yourself by yourself. It always takes the help of others. So this is Louisa complaining, right? And so he said, Jesus, why do we have to send the priest here? I am inconvenient to the priest. Why can't we just do it ourselves, me and you? Why do we have to call somebody else? And I find myself, Mother, and Peter, all you listeners, I complain myself, like, why do I have to go through the humiliations of asking someone? When I need somebody, when I need something, why do I have to tell the sisters? Why can't we just fix me, Jesus? You know, why don't you just heal my ankle that's hurting right now? Why do I have to have somebody to help me with my chores? But the Lord tells Louisa that it is necessary for someone to help us. He said, indeed, without anybody else, you cannot crucify yourself by yourself. Always take
sometimes help. We have to be humiliated so we can be humbled.
Yes, exactly. And that's part of living in the divine will. And Mother mentioned earlier also, you know, she said that, you know, the desire, it's about the desires. And it's true, affections and desires, but the Lord also asks us to mortify, because the desire will not last forever. It's not going to sustain unless we suffer, unless there is mortification, not just the suffering that Jesus sends us, but also the voluntary suffering that we do for the sake of others. Like, I may not want to get up early in the morning because I'm so tired. I don't want to help a sister because I don't want to do something that is difficult. But to mortify myself is to die to myself and refuse myself for my own comfort to help others, to help someone else. And then to sustain that is to also pray constantly, because our desires is fed by the mortification, but it comes to life when we actually communicate to God every time. And Mother was saying about rounds, because it's our communication to God, our prayer constantly, not just when we are at church, not just when we are at Adoration Chapel, but in our words and our acts, that is a form of prayer, whether we say it or in our thoughts or in action, done in love. Because according to Colossians, that was the reading today, love is the glue of perfection. So whatever we do, without love of God, without love in it, it's not going to be pleasing to God.
Yeah, I was just reading too about Saint Faustina. You know, she was experienced, you know, we all experience on and off, like Sister Saint Faustina, if you read her diary, you know, you can put yourself into it too. She would feel darkness, dryness, abandonment. Where is God? You know, then sometimes she would feel his presence in a very profound way. We go back and forth like that, you know, and our Lord appeared to her and he says, when you feel that darkness, that dryness, that loneliness, he said, I'm letting you experience who you are. That's who you are. He said, anything good about you, anything beautiful about you is me, not you. And that's what we can all, Mother Angelica used to say, that the only thing we can claim is our own or our sins and our faults. Everything good is God in us. And so, you know, we feel, our Lord allows us to feel our weakness, to feel our nothingness, to feel our littleness, so that we can accept ourselves the way we are and realize he is our all. He told St. Catherine of Siena, you are she who is not, and I am he who is. But we all think we're something. We want to be something, you know, and we want to feel like we are something. And when we don't feel like we're something, we feel kind of bad, you see. And so he's trying to let us feel that badness so that we can realize that who we are, who we really are. And then when we accept ourselves, who we really are, then we're content and we're happy and we're at peace. But we fight against that. We don't want to feel that. So we try to distract ourselves so we don't have to feel ourselves. But we want to just, you know, come out of that, you know, raise our heads above the water, in a sense, and look at him. If we constantly look at him rather than ourselves, and that's what this is all a purification. The purification is all about that, to stop looking at you and to look at him. And it's very difficult because we feel ourselves. We feel our weakness. We feel our physical condition. You know, everybody gets pains. And as you get older, they come more and more often, it seems. We all have physical struggles, you know, and the physical struggle sometimes brings you down emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, every way. And you tend to think of yourself more when you feel yourself, you see. But it's to rise above that and to look at him rather than yourself. And that's what this purification is all about, to come to that point. And I think the only way, I mean, the Lord keeps telling me the only way to get there is to do acts and rounds and divine will, and to be totally focused on the presence of the Trinity within me rather than me and me, you know.
That's right. Yeah. And that privation really helped Luisa grow, sort of her cross, where she was able to understand who she was and what she had to work on. You know, Sister Magdalena was also talking about, she went through basically the litmus test of what Jesus says we must possess in order to receive this gift fully. Desire, which admits us to this gift, it gets us in the door, so to speak. Knowledge advances us, it gets us moving forward. Virtues anchor us, just like a mountain climber, before they take a rest, they'll try to dig into the hill so they can really rest their legs and their arms. So that anchors us. And life then actualizes it. Everything comes to fruition. Because if it doesn't come to fruition, then we basically are like the Pharisees. We know, but we're not doing. So again, everything's in front of us. And Jesus is so patient with us. And you know, Mother, we talked about this last week and maybe the week before that. This gift really is very simple. We just overcomplicate it. I mean, we talk about a lot of extraneous things, because again, the more knowledge we have, the more we fall in love with God, and the more we want to serve God, of course, and then the more we want to possess God. It all works well. But this is really very simple. This really is for children. We can do this. We have the capacity to do that. And I think that's something that maybe someone new to the divine will may want to look at. I remember the first time I heard there was 36 volumes. I said, I've said no to a master's about 10 times. I'm not going back to school. I'm too old for this. I thought I had to sit there and memorize 36 volumes. That's not it. Once you get in the door, one sentence, one word, God can open up all 36 volumes. It doesn't mean you're going to know it all well, but you're going to know what this gift's about. And once you know what it's about, there's no turning back.
All we have to know is that God lives in us, and everything we do, it's him in us doing it. To realize that, it's very simple. To realize him working within us, and that we can't do anything without him. His will keeps us alive. His will is keeping us functioning in every way, in every capacity, you know. And just to come to that realization is very simple. But it's been there all along. We just haven't. We don't realize that. We don't understand that.
It's being unveiled, so to speak.
Sister? Also, in the hour of compassion, Jesus said that he lets us to feel the dryness. Darkness and feeling abandoned, because he wants us to console him and to unite our sufferings with him, with his. So we gotta focus on not on ourselves, but also just think of it as it's his own suffering, that we are filling it and offering it up to God. And in the volume 12, December 25, 1920, here, this is Christmas Day, but Jesus says about his destiny in the Eucharist. My daughter, did you see what made me shiver? Cry and wail, the abandonment of creatures. You placed them all around me. I felt I was being watched and kissed by all, so I stopped crying. However, know that my sacramental lot is even harder than my lot as an infant. Though cold, the grotto was spacious and had air to breathe. The host, too, is cold, but so small that I almost lack air. In the grotto, I had a manger with a little hay for bed. In my sacramental life, I don't even have hay, and I have nothing but hard and ice-cold metals for bed. In the grotto, I had my dear mama, who took me very often with her most pure hands, cover me with ardent kisses in order to warm me, soothe my crying, and nourish me with her most sweet milk. In my sacramental life, it is all the opposite. I do not have a mama. If they take me, I feel the touch of unworthy hands, which smell like earth and muck. Oh, how I feel their stench. More than the manure I smelled in the grotto. Instead of covering me with kisses, they touch me with irreverent acts. Instead of milk, they give me the bile of sacrilegious, of indifference, and of coldness. In the grotto, Saint Joseph never left me without the light of a little lantern at night. Here in the sacrament, how many times I remain in the dark, also at night. Oh, how much more painful is my sacramental lot. How many hidden tears, not seen by anyone. How many wails, not listened to. If my lot as an infant moved you to pity, much more should my sacramental lot move you to pity. So he is still in the Eucharistic sacramental lot. He's still suffering, abandoned, lonely, in darkness, and nobody comes to visit him often, and he's all there by himself. So he is truly the prisoner of love, and he's aching because he wants to pour out his love and mercy, but not only few are coming to give him homage, to accompany him. So in with the divine will, with the desire that we can want and give him like the love and consolation in the name of all the souls present, past, present, and future. And we gotta ask him for the grace that we can realize his personal presence in the Eucharist. And he also said that just thinking of doing divine will makes him really happy. And he said, how much more content I will be if somebody is doing the divine will.
What I actually love about that passage is when he makes mention of Saint Joseph. Saint Joseph never left me without a little light. And then he talks about the little light in the tabernacle. And it always reminds me, it's like the little things. You know, like Mother was saying before, we always feel like we have to do big things, but it's those little things we do for Jesus each day that he just loves so much.
Because we all have the ability, you know, sister, to do those little things every day. You know, we don't have the big opportunity most times. And that's something to think about. Yeah, again, try thinking about everything that we're talking about today. It's really very simple. Yeah, Jesus wants to take it deeper, because again, the deeper we go, the more we appreciate, the more we love him, you know, the closer we get to him. But really just scratching the surface, allowing our intellect, memory, and will just to be sort of neutralized, put aside everything again, giving up the holy things, and just embrace this. Just give this an opportunity. It's really all he needs to get our foot in the door, and then just start this journey, because it really is simple. I mean, he wouldn't, Mother, think about it. He wouldn't offer this or make this available to everyone if it wasn't simple. There's no educational criteria. Right. And he's amused by our inability to do anything very well, I'm sure.
Well, you have to be like a child to enter the kingdom of heaven. So he loves children, and he loves littleness, and he loves nothingness. And so that's what the purification is all about. So we can come to realize that, and the purification comes through the cross. You have to submit yourself to everything that happens. It's not easy, but God gives the grace, and he never gives us more than we can handle. And we have to trust him in that he will never give you more crosses and more suffering than which you can handle. So, you know, to trust God in everything and to realize that he's using everything for our good. The Bible says everything works out for good for those who love God. And we have to believe that.
That's right. True. And, you know, he's been working on us for the book of heaven says Jesus tells Louisa 6,000 years. He's been trying to give us everything we need. No excuses. All the tools, all the attributes, everything of his that we need to come back. He's recalling us. And he says, we finally come back. We're finally ready to go back. We just have to give our fiat. Finally.
Right.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you again, Larry. And again, well, welcome everyone back. Everyone has a recess, especially the kindergarten. I love those recesses. That's one thing I remember from kindergarten. We're coming to you live, and we're with Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will. You know, Mother, we were talking about reflections, and you know, with a reflection, Jesus also uses another adjective. He calls it a shadow, where we're nothing but a shadow. And this nothingness of the soul, actually, if you want to read about it, we've got a whole section on it on our website, queenofthedivinewill.org, in the Divine Will Resource Library. It's called The Nothingness of the Soul. How practical. And yeah, but if you think about it, a reflection is nothing but a copy of something else. So there needs to be an object to reflect. A shadow, the second term or word our Lord uses, is that we're nothing but a shadow. And think about a shadow. A shadow is only possible if there's somebody blocking a light to create the shadow. So again, there's an object, a real object, that's necessary to create this shadow, both of which are the frailest of scenarios. They can be gone in a split second, or they can remain based on the object. And we know the object is Christ. So hopefully we reflect him. We're in the shadow of him. And again, with the shadow, as we hear with St. Joseph, as he lived in the shadow of the divine will, you know, there's many attributes in the shadow. You know, think about a cloud. There's many electrolytes and there's many droplets of moisture. There's a lot there, and there's a lot for our taking. But God's asking us to take it. And he wants to know, do we want to take it? We have to give our fiat. Mother, yeah. Sisters?
Yeah, we have to continue to give our fiat. You want to talk?
Oh, sure. You know, I was listening to what y'all were talking about with, you know, how Peter, you were saying how simple it is. You know, it is, it's especially those who are just getting into the divine will and reading about it, learning about it. And it's true that once you accept it, once you give your fiat, the Lord does give you the grace, you know, to he pulls you in more. And that's the thing. He does the work, you know. And I found this passage here in volume 30. And Louisa was saying, you know, why? He goes, if the Lord loves so much, he wants his divine will to be known, and he wants it reigning with the creatures. Why is it that he wants them to pray for it? Why doesn't he just give it to them just without them asking for it? And so Jesus, which is what we would probably ask too. That's the great thing about Louisa. She's so simple. And then he tells her, my daughter, to know my divine will is the greatest thing that I can give and that the creature can receive. And its reigning is the confirmation of its great gift and the carrying out of its will that was known. Therefore, it is necessary to ask for it. By asking for it, she disposes herself. She forms within herself the royal palace in which to receive it. By asking for it, she acquires the love in order to love it. She acquires the qualities of sacrifice that are needed in order to possess it. And as one asks for it, the human will loses its ground. It is debilitated. It loses strength and disposes itself to receive the dominion of the supreme volition. And God, seeing himself prayed, disposes himself to give it. You know, and he does everything. You know, it's so simple in that sense. Yes, there is sacrifice. You know, yes, there is things that that sometimes it feels easy and then sometimes it doesn't. But the thing is, the Lord pulls you through all of that. Just giving your fiat, just continuing and persevering, just with a littleness, like Mother was saying. And I think it's also very important just to spend time with Jesus quietly. You know, it's not, you don't have to say all these things. You know, yes, you know, it's important to do the rounds and acts and the divine will, but then it's also important just to be there in silence. The most... Right. The deepest prayer, the most beautiful conversations are in silence between the Lord, and it's the movements of the heart, and that's where he's transforming you. So I think in that sense, Eucharistic adoration is very important.
I think that's
very well said.
That's an act in divine will too, because it's Jesus in you, loving Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. So everything is an act of divine. He just wants us to realize, no, all day long, his will is functioning within us. There's nothing we do outside of his will. And he wants us to recognize that and to be aware of that. So, you know, you can be, you know, even watching a movie, if it's according to his will, if it's a good thing, an entertainment, God doing it in you. That's so you never leave his will. You know, you're always, no matter what you do, you can be playing golf and God is playing golf in you, you know. And so you you don't ever leave his will. You can live in his will always. I was just reading here.
Mother, if I could just interrupt for a quick second before we move on, I wanted to just make a quick mention what Sister Benedicta was talking about asking. That's one of those requirements. So Jesus gives us within the volumes, there's four simple requirements in order to be ready to receive this gift. One, we have to be in a state of grace. Two, we have to have an upright intention. We have to want this for everyone, not just for ourselves, for selfish reasons. We have to ask for the gift. He really wants us to ask for it, whether it be subliminally asking or verbalizing it. And we must have that ardent desire. So those are the four categories. Again, this is not what we're saying, but this is what Jesus says. Be in the state of grace, otherwise nothing can happen. Upright intention, ask for the gift, and possess an ardent desire. And we qualify to receive the gift. In essence, we possess the requisites. Sorry about that.
It's in the scriptures. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open to you. So it's there. You know, he's he wants us to ask. You know,
he just reworded it.
It takes humility to ask. That's growing in. You know, we expect God to do everything. No, he wants us to ask for it. It's a gift. You know, we need to just ask for the gift. I was just reading November 3rd, 1926, volume 20. Our Lord was talking to Louisa about the souls in purgatory. He says those who have lived in his divine will, he says they open the door to suffrages, to everything coming to them to be relieved in purgatory. He says even though the suffrages and everything that the church does always descends into purgatory, they go, however, to those who have formed paths for themselves. So he says, for the others who have not done my will, the paths are closed or do not exist at all. And if these were saved, it was because at least at the point of death, they have recognized the supreme dominion of my will. They have adored it and have submitted themselves to it. And this last act has rescued them. Otherwise, they would not even be saved. For one who has always done my will, there are no paths to purgatory. His path goes straight to heaven. And one who has recognized my will and has submitted to it, not in everything and always, but in great part, has formed for himself so many paths and received so much that purgatory sends him quickly to heaven. Now, just as the purging souls had to form their paths to be able to receive suffrages, in the same way, the living, in order to send suffrages, must do my will in order to form their paths, so as to make their suffrages ascend into purgatory. If they make suffrages, for they are far away from my will, since the communication with my will is missing, that alone unites and binds everyone. Their suffrages will not find the way in order to send the feet to be able to walk, the strength to get, or in order to give relief. They will be suffrages without life, because the true life of my will is missing. That alone has the virtue of giving life to all goods. The more the soul possesses of my will, the more value her prayers, her works, her pains contain. And so she can bring more relief to those blessed souls. I measure and give value to everything that the soul can do according to how much of my will she possesses. If my will runs in all of her acts, the measure I take is immense. Even more, I never stop measuring, and I put so much value into it that its weight cannot be calculated. On the other hand, if one does not care much about my will, the measure is scarce and the value of little importance. And if one does not care at all, as much as a soul may do, I have nothing to measure, nor any value to give. Therefore, if they have no value, how can they bring relief to those souls who in purgatory recognize nothing, nor can they receive anything but what my eternal fiat produces? Why is it that God cannot say no to Our Lady? She lived totally in God's divine will. He couldn't say no to Our Lady. He found he couldn't say no to Louisa. She lived totally in God's divine will. The more we live totally in his divine will, our prayers would be much more effective. Our prayer for our family members, for everybody we love, for all the problems going on in the world, the more our prayers are meaningful, and God will, he won't be able to say no to us either. So we can you know, identify ourselves with Our Lady and Louisa. We do the same thing. God will not be able to say no to us, just like he couldn't say no to them.
So, Mother, that corroborates what Father Celso says at times. He says, if we do what God wants, God will do what we want.
Right. You know,
that's sort of reciprocity of goodness.
One time he told that to Louisa. He said, you know, she says, sometimes I want to do some. If I want to do what I want to do, you know, he says, well, you know, how can that be in divine will? He says, because I want to do what you want to do. Whatever you want to do, I want to do it with you. You know how in Tony Hickey's book, it says, God wants to walk. I want to walk with him. But also, when you're totally living in divine will, you can say, God will say, you want to walk. I want to walk with you. You know, so it goes on to say, but do you know who can bring all reliefs? The light that purifies, the love that transforms, one who possesses the life of my will in everything and in whom it dominates triumphantly, that this soul has not even need of paths, because by possessing my will, she has the right to all paths. She can go to all points because she possesses within herself the royal path of my will in order to go into that deep prison to bring them all reliefs and libations. More so, since in creating man, we gave him our will as his special inheritance, and we recognize everything he has done within the boundaries of our inheritance. With that, we endowed him. So if you want to help the poor souls in purgatory, seek and strive to live more and more in God's divine will. And you're going to be helping them, helping those poor people with your prayers. Anything else is not recognized by us. It is not our thing, nor can we allow anything to enter heaven that has not been done by creatures, either in our will or at least in order to do it. Since creation came out of the eternal fiat, our will, jealous, allows no act to enter the celestial fatherland that has not passed through its fiat itself. Oh, if all knew what will of God means and how all works, even those that appear to be good but are empty of it, or works empty of light, empty of value, empty of light. The works without light, without value, and without life do not enter into heaven. Oh, how attentive they would be to do my will in everything and forever. If we understood the value of one act, one round in divine will, he told that to Louisa, you would never cease to do these things. You'd constantly be trying to, you know, and of course, everything we do all day long, if we make that little act in the morning, everything we do, God will be doing within us as long as it's not against his will. And we have to have faith in that. But it's good during the day to bring it to your mind that he's doing something something at the moment in you, you know, he's doing everything in you. But don't worry, even if you don't think of it again all day long, he is. If you made that little prayer in the morning asking him to do everything in and through you throughout the day, he is. And it takes faith, because you might not feel anything. Are we feeling
people? He was very direct with that, though. There was no ambiguity with what he just said. He was very clear, very distinct, very easy to understand.
So don't beat yourself up. Or nay. Don't beat yourself up. If you say it in the morning, he's doing it all in you, as long as it's not a sinful act or something against his will.
Mother, we just had a beautiful lesson with Mother this morning. And prior to the lessons, we talk about all the sufferings in the world. And one example was what's going on recently with Afghanistan and all this sadness that we talk about. And Mother told us to keep a positive perspective, because that's what the Lord wants us, to not be worried and so concerned about it. And truth is, as I was thinking about that, Sister Francesca just came back from the United States, and so she gave us a little update of what's going on, because we don't listen to news here. We don't have TV. So we just kind of heard it from a little bit from Sister Francesca. And I was thinking about the sufferings of Christians and the Americans that were there stranded. And I thought to myself, this is not divine will, but this is permissive will. And God has a purpose to this. So in my thought, I was doing the prevenient act this morning and putting in my desires, in my mind, to do these acts to repair for those, not only those who are suffering there, but even the enemies, you know, the people that cause the suffering. I can do that reparation, doing the divine will for Jesus to repair for all these sufferings and for all the perpetrators, the sinners, and with a positive thought of their future conversion, because there are martyrs right now, and the blood of the martyrs is going to convert the enemies. And I am hopeful to that. And by thinking that and by faith, believing that when we desire this in Jesus, what we desire, if we do desire this in divine will, that is a desire of God. And if I pray to God that this is going to happen, that's what the Lord wants to give us, because he cannot say no to himself. If we live in the divine will, he's not going to say no to us, nor to our Blessed Mother or anybody else, because he cannot deny himself. And so I am hopeful with that. It did give me some peace and comfort, no matter how crazy it is outside, thinking about the hope and the faith that there is conversion, and it's going to happen. It's going to be bad first in the beginning, but we know, even in scripture, histories of how Israelites in the early days when they were captive to Babylon, when they disobeyed God and they allowed, God permitted them to be captured by their enemies for their own good, for their conversion. And so I just think about that.
Yeah, even everything that's going on in Afghanistan, we're talking about that, you know, the ammunition that was left there, the money that was left there. We have to believe everything works out for good for those who love God. God will bring a greater good out of everything. How? Well, maybe with the money, they'll buy more ammunition. They'll kill more people. More people will be martyred. The church is built on the blood of martyrs. The church will become strong again. How will God do this? I don't know. We can't. You know, God has a plan. And we have to be at peace. Pray for those people. We pray for them all, you know, but knowing that God will bring a greater good out of it. And we pray for the people who are killing them more than, because, and we pray for strength and courage for them to be able to give their lives to Christ, because that's a great gift. The gift of martyrdom is a great gift that they may be presented to a lot of these people. So even that we can look at and say, well, God get the glory, you know, may God get all the glory from whatever will happen there and everything in our own lives. You know, the hurricane came, my family's struggling now. They don't have electricity. They won't have it till the end of the month, I think, to clean up all the mess, trees uprooted, barns knocked down, everything. Thibodeau, I heard we had a lot of damage, you know, and God would bring a great, I got a good out of that. But I thanked God that they had their roofs over their head. If their houses weren't torn down, my family anyway, you know, they have a lot of other damage and they're struggling from heat down there, and no air condition, you know, and no electricity. But all of that suffering brings about a greater good, that we have to be purified, and we can only get purified through the cross, never through our consolations. We only grow through the suffering. And so, and our Lord said that's the greatest gift, the gift of suffering. If we could, you know, and if the souls in purgatory or the saints in heaven could come back to earth to do anything, they would want to come back and suffer because they realize the value of it now. We don't realize the value of it. We don't like it when it happens, you know, when it's happening to us. But God is doing great good with all, even the smallest sufferings. I was just reading here, the smallest little things, even an act in divine will. He says, "Your little bitty, I love you." I won't read it all, but, you know, just explain it. He was telling Louisa, "You put your I love you on the fish." She said, "I multiply that so much. I take all your little I love yous and I make them so much bigger." Well, he says, this says in clear words that if my will operates or invests an atom, a little act, that atom, that little act becomes C. And if it bends down to do small things, it makes up for them with its regenerative virtue, making of them such a great number that man cannot arrive at counting them all. So if you put your I love you on every leaf, on every tree, that I love you continues for all eternity, shouting out to God on every leaf, on every tree that ever was and ever will be, "I love you, God, I love you, God, I love you, God," from you. Jesus put it on there for you, because Jesus put it on there for you. It becomes a divine act, which has no beginning and no end, and it continues to be regenerated. It continues to be repeated over and over again. So God lets us do little bitty things, and he makes them big, and they continually become multiplied over and over and over again. You know, we can say when I go to communion and I say, "Jesus, I want all souls to come and adore you in me," or "I want to receive you in the name of all souls, past, present, and future," you know, and God gets the glory. And he received communion for every person who would ever receive him and for every person who would ever live. And you can take all those communions as your own and put your I love you on all of them and give them back to him again. And that happens again and again and again, because he repeats every act, because it's an act that he did. It's a divine act.
it was when Mother, you were talking about the what's going on in Afghanistan, it reminds me of the gospel of today that was saying that we have to love also the people who don't love us, basically our enemies. And I was thinking when I was reading that how difficult it is to love like all these people who are doing all these bad things in the world, but we are called to love even these people, especially those people. And how do we love them? Praying for them, praying for their conversion. That's a way of love. And also we have to think that Jesus created them, so they are creatures of God, and God loves them so much. And so yeah, we have to keep this in mind and to pray for the conversion of all these people.
Yeah, and it takes a lot of faith, you know, as everyone was speaking, especially Ms. Sister Magdalena before, it's when you kind of have that mentality that, you know, greater good is coming out of it, and you speak that to people, you know, a lot of times they'll call you a Pollyanna, you know, like you're not looking at reality. But the reality is God does hear all of our prayers. He's going to answer those prayers. Are there souls that are still going to be lost? Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, yeah, but there are going to be tremendous graces that come through our prayers, that come through our acts and rounds. I think the frustrating thing I know for me is that God doesn't work in our time. You know, it's like you do an act and a round, you pray for somebody and you expect them to fall to their knees immediately and convert. But God doesn't work like that. I remember even Louisa was complaining to Jesus, you want your will to come, and people just seem to be getting worse and worse. And that's what it feels like right now. We're doing our best, doing acts and rounds, and the world just keeps getting worse and worse. But just keeping our eyes on the Lord and trusting in Him and knowing that it's His work to do. He knows what He's doing. He knows how to do it. And for me personally, the thing I keep saying in my head is God has not lost control. It may seem like that, but God has not lost control. So we just have to keep doing our little duty, our little job, doing our best to live in His will, and He's going to win. we know who's going to win the war.
He's not anticlimactic too. He's going to bring this to a fruition at the right time and show the whole world what we lost.
Mother? We get emails from people, you know, they're concerned because they're praying for their family members and they don't see anything happening. But God knows. He knows all things. He knows better than we do. He loves those people better than we love them, you know, our family members. And He may wait until the last minute before they die to give the grace that you prayed for all your life, because He knows if He gives it to them ahead of time, they'll lose it. So He waits until the very last, and you might not ever know that they were converted. They'll maybe be converted on their deathbed, and you may never even know that. But know that your prayers will be answered, and if you pray for your family members, they will be converted. I believe that. I believe that they will be. Don't give up. Don't give up praying for them, but pray with trust and confidence. Pray with peace, not with worry. Because our Lord wants you to have confidence in Him. If you pray with trust and confidence in Him, your prayers will be answered. To going back to the little acts, He says, therefore, one who lets herself be dominated by my will possesses as many seas for as many acts as she does in it. And while she does little, she has much. She has a divine volition that delights in making of the little act of the creature a sea. And only with these seas can she impetrate the longed for kingdom of the divine will. This is why our newborn, the little daughter of my will, was needed, so that turning her little pains, her I love you, and everything she does into seas and communicate with the sea of the eternal one, she can have ascendancy to impetrate the kingdom of my will. So when we suffer, our little sufferings, we put our I love you on it, we give it to God, we submit to His will, and great things will happen with the little pains that we have. Even a little tiny pain, God can magnify it, multiply it, and make it a big thing to really touch many souls in the world.
Sister Magdalena, that was talking about that we don't see God's progression. I think, Mother, you mentioned it too. We don't see things developing as God working. But then again, we don't see cancer either. So, I mean, if that can grow, if something as nefarious as that can grow, why can't God work beneath the surface, so to speak? I remember a quote also that ties back to Sister Magdalena's talking about not seeing, and maybe we don't understand, or we don't feel like we're understanding or journeying. Father Iannuzzi, on this same Radio Maria, I think it was back on May 19th of 2000, on one of the programs they had, he said that the divine will is very difficult to explain to others. but it's rather easy to understand once we accept it. So if you think about that, when we're talking to others, we're using, you know, our vernacular, human vernacular, and we may be 1 foot in, 1 foot out. But when we accept, when we give that fiat, then we understand, our Blessed Mother, how can this be? She wasn't challenging God, but she was curious. She wanted to know. She wanted to please God more. And she was given all the knowledge. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. And that's what we can do too. We're going to end with a short prayer in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together as your brothers and sisters, your children. And we ask you the grace to continue our fight, our journey. We ask this all through Christ, our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks be to God for everything. Thank you, Radio Maria.